Hey there, welcome to the Out of the Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Joshua Sheehan, and this is episode number 245. The RV Entrepreneur is a community for people who are interested in downsizing their life, creating remote income, and working from anywhere. Our goal is to support and inspire entrepreneurs in and around the RV community. And today we have the pleasure of talking with Edu Shumolsky, who is currently traveling the country performing with the Vernaro Circus. Edu is a performer and ran away with the circus twice, once on a train in 1993, this time in an RV in 2021. He's lived on circus trains, mega cruise ships, flown over 1,000 times in a decade chasing ships around the planet, and is now living full-time in a Winnebago Micro Mini, rocking his vaudeville dreams, touring with a real live tent show circus. This interview is slightly different than past guests. Edu isn't currently an entrepreneur, but he was during COVID, and it's a good case study of the opportunities that are out there and how different situations in life have different seasons. In this episode, we talk about how the live performance industry was affected by the pandemic and Edu's pivot into entrepreneurship to flex with the market and stay relevant from a distance. How circus life fits so intimately into RV life and some of the benefits and struggles of living while working with a traveling show, the opportunities for future generations of performers, and how entrepreneurs can successfully fulfill live and virtual market slices while on the road in their RVs, the struggles of live performances on the road with a society that is so connected and tethered to our devices all at the same time, and lots more. With that, let's bring Edu on the line and jump into the conversation. Edu, welcome to the RV Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm happy to have you on here.
I'm very, very thrilled to speak to you and to the community. I'm a long time listener, man. I love you, what you guys are doing.
You're newly into an RV, but you're definitely not new to nomad travel and working on the road. Give us a little backstory of your history of working on the road and what you're currently doing.
Let's go. It's like, how far back do you want to go? I was touring with the Ringling Brothers and the Barn Valley Circus when I was like 23, 24, 25 years old, and got a real taste for that nomad. You know what I mean? That thing where you're just on the road. We were traveling by circus train at the time. This is before the circus went a different direction. And that gave me a taste for it. And from there, I was performing as a clown and kind of leaned into a skill clown and juggling and stuff. And that turned into a career on cruise ships. So I spent a better part of 20 years sailing around the planet, juggling and making people laugh. And again, very nomadic kind of thing, living in small quarters, whether it's a circus train or a cruise ship, same kind of vibe. And now here I am in a very intimate, beautiful little tent show called the Vernaro Circus, and back in an RV. And I'm living in a little 22-foot micro mini, and I got a little Boston Terrier on the road with me, and we are having a ball touring around. Please come see the show.
So how often are you guys moving, and how many shows are you doing in a certain, you know, like you do two shows a week, you do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then move to the next location? What's your travel schedule like?
We kind of got it made in the terms of this business. We move every 2 weeks, and there's always exceptions to the rule, but we move every 2 weeks, and we do about 8 to 10 shows, as many as 12 shows a week, depending on what sales are going. You know, if we're selling out, which we usually are, we can add shows towards the end of the run. Much to the performer's chagrin, it happens when the people demand it. But we get away with 8 shows a week. We do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 1 show days, and then Saturday, Sunday, 3 and 2. And then we move like that middle week. We got a little bit more time to breathe. This week, for example, we go into this weekend, 1 today, 3 tomorrow, 2 Sunday. Then we pack it up and we drive to Tempe, Arizona, and do it all over again there.
And where are you currently?
We're in just outside of Austin in Buda, Texas, and we're having a ball. We're in Buck's backyard. It's like I'm waiting for Patrick Swayze to come walking in. It's like this Texas roads. I don't know if I just dated myself, didn't I?
But I got the reference.
Right on. That's where we're at. We're in behind this roadside honky tonk, and it is fantastic. It's great.
And so, is that a typical amount of distance that you guys would move between shows?
No, that's a lot. This is a long one. This is a long one. We went from, we were just in Houston before this. And then I've only been with the tour since September. It does like 2 sort of seasons a year. And I'm in my second. And we were doing, you know, what was the jump? Huntsville to Asheville, North Carolina. And then we did Austin again. This is the second time we've done Austin this year. Austin really digs us. We do well here.
Very cool. How many people are part of the troop?
There is two families. We got six kids. And when I say kids, I mean like toddlers and six dogs. I don't even know how many trailers are out here. 1, 2, 12 trailers. More than half is the performers. And then there's a couple of techs. You know, you got your the tent bosses and your AV front of house stuff and concessions guys. But it's a small unit. We do it all here. We set up a tent. We take down the tent. We put everything together as a group, as 15. The whole circus is your job. There is no one job. I mean, I'm a comedy element and a juggler and a character. I do a pre-show and in the before the show opens, I do about 30, 40 minutes before as people are being seated, sort of like a hype man. And then I do a little act in the show. I guess the point being is everybody does everything. We are one here at the Bernardo Show.
Yeah, entrepreneurs are definitely akin to that of wearing every single hat all the time. And it sounds like circus life is very much the same.
It's the only way it works. You got to be here because you love it. The circus rules all, you know, everybody knows what they signed up for. And it's been that way for centuries. You know what I mean? This isn't new. This is what the show demands, and you're up for it or you're not.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about the different modes of travel. So it sounds like you started out when the circus you were originally in was doing train travel, and then you jumped to cruise ships and were flying in and out of ports and getting on ships. And now you're doing RV stuff. How does it change based on the mode of travel? What your job is like?
I find right now, working backwards, I guess, this to be one of the most satisfying. And maybe it's because I'm a little bit older now. I like being a little bit closer to the real tempo of society, being on land in an RV. Because when you go to a cruise ship, you're gone. You know, if you sign a 6-month contract to go out, you're having fun and you might be seeing the world, but you're on that ship, you know, and you're not really on anybody's radar for too many other things. Which I guess it's similar to the circus. You know, I'm really here. Personally, I prefer a highway to a sea day. Okay. And then as far as the Ringling Show, that was like a childhood dream for me. And it was so long ago that all I can remember is the rainbows and butterflies. You know what I mean? I was a circus clown. And that's all I ever wanted to be when I was, you know, from the time I saw it was that. And then to get to do it and to get to live in the train and that experience, it's too long ago and clouded. To say, all right, this is the pros and cons of living in a, because that room was ridiculous. I mean, that's the smallest room I've ever lived in by far. It was like 4x6, like living on a piece of plywood. But it didn't matter. I could have lived, I'd have lived under the train if you let me be in that show. It didn't matter what it was.
How did lockdowns and COVID work with the circus industry? What did your last few years look like? And how did you have to adapt before you got on with this current troupe and show?
Well, everybody did different things. I leaned heavily into the virtual. My family lives up in northern New York, and I went up right away, converted a barn into a giant studio, and tried to get into the virtual side of things as hard as I could. Mm-hmm. And to tell you the truth, I still think that there's a heck of a market for virtual entertainment. I don't have the time to do it because I'm out here doing this. I really leaned into it and enjoyed it, actually. You know what I mean? It seemed like something that I would, had the pandemic persisted, I was happy with the direction that I was going to be able to go and try to still be creative and to bring joy. I don't want to sound cliche, but we are in the business of making people laugh and smile, man. That's what it's about. And trying to find a way to do that under any circumstances is the goal. You know what I mean? That was how I approached the whole pandemic. From the minute I realized how serious it was going to be, I was like, when this story is written, I want to be on the side of it where you were giving people a moment of smile, you know what I mean? Instead of anything less than that. But it shut us down. You know, it shut the cruise ships down. I know that the Bernardo Circus also made an effort to go virtual. And they even did some open air shows with potted seating. And they worked very hard to stay relevant. And it worked because here we are on the other side of a pandemic and we are still standing.
There you go.
The tent is up, the people are coming, and the laughs are plentiful.
What did your actual work look like and how was it different being virtual? Because I know even if you're on a recorded show that's then rebroadcast, right? Usually you have some sort of audience to give feedback. How did that work for you in having a totally virtual? I can only imagine you were just alone in your barn putting on a show through a camera. How is that different than having a live audience?
Oof. How long you want your podcast to be? Because I could talk about that for days. It morphed, man. It depended on what people were asking of you. I got a lot of requests for juggling classes that were real personalized. If they were trying to do these long-winded business meetings. They wanted entertainment in segments.
Sure.
So I was often tasked with trying to be a very branded, personalized juggling class. The president's name is Bob. And Bob, this is how you juggle. You throw one up and one under, and you try to make it look like it was happening in real time. And then there's live streaming.
So that would have been pre-recorded. You would record that for them and send it off as a package deal, and they would just hit play on the video.
Yeah, I would send it off a dozen times, and they would make changes and come back. And that's what I mean. You opened a Pandora's box with this to the point where I started writing into the contracts, you only get so many revisions.
Yeah.
Because these people don't realize what it takes.
Uh-huh.
I say these people very loosely. I don't mean anything bad by that. But people don't necessarily understand what it takes to change that one little thing that really isn't that important in the bigger scheme of things. But it takes me a full reshoot. You know what I mean? That's lights, camera, action. And when you're doing juggling, all it takes is one little faux pas and you're back to square one anyway. So
right.
I got better at it over time. But there was a time where I was putting in 12 or 14 hours to make 8 minutes, 10 minutes to get it really where I wanted it, you know, and what the client expected. And then the other side of that coin was live stream. And that's a whole another animal. I did fundraising where you tried to stay relevant for as long as I could go. I did just interactive. I had all my props in varying degrees available to me. You're kind of improvising your way through it in a fundraising capacity. I received content from the client from a variant, and I would be like a host and tie it all together with a bigger cause in mind. So that was another avenue, which is completely different from pre-recording.
Which did you prefer?
I'd have to say live. If I'm honest, I think my strength and most people that know me, my strength is not in any one heavy duty. You know what I like improv is the moral of the story. I love to just be in the moment and for better or worse, just see what happens and try to be present from moment to unanticipated moment, as one of my dear mentors once taught me.
How big was your studio in New York?
It was a two-car garage, a big two-car garage, and we took one of them.
Okay.
So, and we insulated, because it was up in northern New York, and I insulated it and heated it, and it was, I am thrilled that we have rebounded from this, but I was one of the guys who was on the other side of that fence going, we might be here a while, you know, and I'm grateful that it wasn't as long as I expected, but it is there and wait if something, God forbid, goes the other way. You know what I mean? I really do believe if anybody's out there listening, second guessing, doing virtual, I think it's the way of the future. I think there's always going to be a market for it. I really do. You got to do it right. And it's a pain. It's a lot. The learning curve is significant. I didn't know what bit rate meant from nothing. You know what I mean? When I started, but you do when you start live streaming and then uploading and downloading and trying to do things in real time with no lag and all that stuff was crazy.
So I'm trying to think here. I'm envisioning options. Do you think you could recreate that studio with camera angles and equipment and stuff in the back of a fifth wheel toy hauler?
Yes.
Cool.
I think you can do anything that you want to do.
Sure.
I know that sounds, again, cliche, but I have seen people succeed at the most niche, crazy things that you could easily say, no way. And they're remarkably successful. I mean, you'd obviously be very limited to what you could do in the back of a toy hauler. You know, I'm not going to be doing high throws or five clubs of fire, you know.
Right. Right.
Not that I can do five clubs of fire, jugglers out there, because I can't. But if I could, I wouldn't be doing it in the RV. Again, I think it depends a lot on what the client wants and how you can make it interesting for them, because most of the time, they know they got to put on an event. It's usually some person somewhere that is tasked with this and they're open to ideas. That's how I kind of got my feet on the ground with the business. It's just cold calling people and going, you don't even know you need this, but let me explain. And then it worked.
Very cool. So it sounds like you've been around the circus community, the performing community for quite a long time. What is the difference between when you entered the field to now and also what you see the projection of performing being in the future?
Good on you. There's a question for you. I think one of the biggest differences that I've watched in just interacting with the generations of future performers that are coming up is the social media game and technology has so drastically changed how we communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know that there's some people out there doing good work trying to archive and keep relevant the personalities and the person-to-person contact, the live entertainment side of this. You know what I mean? Everybody's got their face in a phone. Sorry, I'm struggling with my voice. We're doing a lot of shows. I see this every day in the show. People in the front row, while I'm performing live, I'm in the middle of some bit, whatever I'm doing, and they're on their phone in the moment. And I can see that they're on Facebook or something. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, can we be here now? And that was not something that I had when I was in the circus. I remember when I was in the ring show, if a senior clown or someone came to the show to visit, we were undivided attention to pick this man's brain and to hear the stories and to feel what it was like back in the day. And I respect the craft. I think people can find that. Maybe they find it on YouTube. Maybe they don't need it anymore. I don't really know, but I know that's a big difference. I hope that didn't sound negative in any way. I think that's just the times we live in, but I know that, you know, it's tough to get people out of their phones, and that's that hurts live entertainment. We're always trying to find a way to get people to look up and see something live and in person. And I think, I mean, whatever, I'm going to be a little biased because I see what the work that we're doing here at the Bernardo Circus, this is where the joy is made and people are loving it. And they've been cooped up for a year. You know, okay, some of them are on their phones down front, but that doesn't change the fact that when we leave the stage, it's 400 people standing on their feet and some of them are crying. You know what I mean? I think we're very healthy. And I see small shows popping up all over the place. I hear Ringling is going to make a return. I know Cirque just put up their Alegria tent. And I don't think you're ever going to shut down variety. You're just, no matter what, the entertainment, live entertainment, the desire people have to laugh and be entertained is never going to go, regardless of the situation. You know, I can't imagine that it'll be a sad day if that comes to pass. And it won't happen on my watch, sir. Come find me. And here at this show, everybody on this lot feels the same way. Then, you know, two families are here with their raising infants. Three families have not one, but two kids. And those kids are backstage every day looking at what we're doing and doing it. There's generations. They're coming, man. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about people having trouble being in the moment, even after a couple years of isolation and less live events, but still front row being on their phone, and you can tell not active, taking a picture and posting or whatever, but they're doing something completely different. Have you ever looked at that as the problem is a solution, in so much, are there anything that you've seen in the industry integrating live virtual interaction from the audience to the performers? So as in, if I'm in the audience, I could be on my phone on an app interacting with you, like you ask a question and I can hit yes, no. You say, should I do this or should I do that? And the audience live responds to that. Have you seen anything of that?
I haven't seen, and I mean, I guess if you were in a virtual situation where you, I don't know why in a live situation you would need your phone to
more so just to correct the problem. If people are on their phone interacting with you, they can't be on their phone doing something else.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That'd be an interesting, you should make that app. I'll try it for you. I'm in, let's do it. I can hear all the app makers that are in their RVs going, start on that app, call Edge. I'll put it in the show tomorrow. There show me go. How to get somebody to, yeah, I love the idea. Let's run with that idea. How do we do that?
Any app developers out there, go ahead and get a hold of Edge and we'll figure out how to interact.
Come on,
app,
we will find
app,
a
live
way.
App interaction at a live show.
I know that there's a lot of magicians doing work like that. I know a dear friend of mine has got a whole show that is dedicated to fooling you with your own phone or with his phone or with an iPad or and they can do remarkable things. They're very interactive like that. But I mean, in this situation, I don't think you realize how intimate this tent is. I mean, we only have 400 seats. And when you're on a, you know, a 20 by 20 foot stage, not barely, and you're surrounded by just in a small tent, and I can see the back row is clear. I can hit them with a ping pong ball.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's how close you are. Can we just turn the apps off for an hour?
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a better solution to me.
Yeah. There is nothing that elicits a laugh more than busting people on their phones. You know what I mean? Because everybody in the room relates. So I shouldn't complain because I get a lot of great material out of it.
I'm sure you do.
There's nothing. I love if I can get somebody to give me their phone while they're talking on it, away I go. I have a call talking to people that aren't at the show. And I'm after the laugh, man. It doesn't matter. I don't really have any agenda outside of trying to get people to laugh.
Nice. So one of the big things I know for the RV community and people going out, running their businesses on the road, is making sure that they're intentional about community. It sounds a lot like your situation being in an RV, traveling with the show, though. You've got built-in community. Talk to me about that.
Circus in general is a community of people that rely so heavily on each other that you overlook almost instantaneously any sort of differences that you could possibly have. You have the humanity of it all takes precedence so quickly. I met people for the first time, and within an hour or two of rehearsals, I find myself spotting them in some precarious situation. I'm not worried about your political references up there. All I want to do is make sure you don't bust your butt if you fall, you know? That creates a bond between performers that you don't get everywhere. So then all of a sudden, you're all on the road in it together, getting down the road from highway to highway, making sure you're checking, back checking who's where. You know, I can't tell you how many times we've unintentionally met up at a Bucky's, and it becomes a community almost right away, you know. And now this group has been together for a couple of months now, so we're thick as thieves. And it shows on stage too, because when you're that close to the audience, they can feel it. They can feel it, they can see it, and it's right there on display. So you want to be getting along. I love that about it, you know what I mean? I've always kind of been that way anyway. I think people who gravitate to this sort of lifestyle are usually pretty welcoming and open to that sort of vibe.
Mm-hmm. What kind of challenges does living in, traveling in an RV provide for the business that you're doing?
My personal challenge is space, because I am a prop guy. I love having stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, now I'm not talking about living, so I'm talking about stuff to juggle. It's hard to explain. Come to the show. I got a lot of stuff, just juggling pins, juggling clubs, juggling balls, things to juggle off of. And what are you going to do with it all? You got to take it all apart, put it all away. I have a little tent, a little pop-up tent for dry storage that I put all my cases in. And I got a nice cap on the back of my truck with a Thule up top. So I got pretty decent storage, but I can always use more. I'm looking hard at a toy box. I really am. Just talking to you has got me thinking about it again. I'm like, you're right. This is ridiculous. Why do I not have more storage space? But yeah, maybe. They're expensive, bro.
They're expensive. Bigger to maintain, bigger to park. Do you have any big rigs with you?
Oh, yeah, man. Boss man's in a, it's got to be 40-foot fifth wheel.
Okay.
He's in a big Molina, but he's got to, you know, the three families, both two fifth wheels and a bus.
Okay.
They're big ones. Yeah. There's some times where it's a little bit cramped, where we're really in tight. And then there's times like this, where we have all the room we could possibly want. And we're right behind the tent. So it's real nice. It's never that bad. I mean, come on, you're in a circus. It's wonderful. Just being, just by definition, it's like you're in a circus, full stop. It can't get bad. Just maybe a little more challenging from town to town. Hey, man, it's definitely a yin and yang kind of life.
Definitely. How did you come into this job? Were you looking for it? Did it just show up and you said, I'll do it? And then you found out you're going to be an RV. Were you looking for mobile options?
When the pandemic hit, I was probably averaging 100 flights a year onto and off of cruise ships. So I assumed for most of the pandemic that when the cruise industry came back, I would just pick up where I left off. I did my first contract, and I dealt with that post-pandemic first airport and the post-pandemic first crowd and the folly of it all, the social distance in line before you get into a plane and sit shoulder to shoulder. The folly of it all. It was crazy. And then getting onto the ship, we were tested relentlessly. You know, every 2-3 days we were tested. And it's all ready. And rightfully so. I'm not complaining about any of this. I think it was all proper that we needed it to be. But it changed the lifestyle. You know what I mean? For me, I was just like, wow, I don't know if it was already a lot of work. Because you only get on stage when you're working on a cruise ship, you're only on stage 2 shows in a week. You know, and your whole week is tied up to do those 2 shows. So if that week gets worse, it's harder to stay there. You know what I mean? You're like, come on. So I didn't necessarily like the way that felt. And I had my eye on this circus. This only started in 2014. And I had seen the show in like 16, 17, I think. Mm-hmm. And I knew some of the people that were performing in it. And it was just on my radar. And I came across My Facebook feed, as so many things do these days. And I just reached out to the proprietor, a man named Kevin Bernardos, who I owe more than I could get into, because he took a little bit of a chance on me. Being a cruise ship act, I got the chops, but I'm used to being able to speak. And in circus environment, you don't necessarily get a microphone. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You just got to go to your act. He took a chance on me, and away we went. You know what I mean? So it was a little bit of a, I can't say that I was looked in, but I was open to it. And when the opportunity lined up, away we went.
Yeah. When it did line up, did you have any expectations of what living and performing on the road in an RV would look like? And then how was that played out versus reality?
It's everything I thought it was going to be. I had an RV back and when I was a younger man, I had a big old fifth wheel just when my cruise ship career started. And when I'd get off the ship, I would go on, take a trip to wherever. And so I knew what RV life was about. I didn't drive by a circus that I didn't go to for my whole life. You know what I mean? I love circus and I know a lot of people that are in circus. So I knew that I would enjoy it if I could find my way to it. The pandemic was a great way to reshuffle the deck because I was caught in the hamster wheel of what I was doing. It would have been hard to escape had it not been for that hard restart that mm-hmm. we all went through, you know. And then when coming out of that, I think a lot of people, you know, they second guess everything about their life and what they're doing with their time and their energy and their desire. And hopefully most of them leaned in towards something that was a little more aligned with their heart. And that's what this turned out to be for me.
Yeah. There's a young person out there who is interested in performing, but also has dreams of traveling a lot and is looking into RV travel for performing. What advice would you give that person into? Should they start looking to do something on their own? Should they get involved with a troupe? Should they do both?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes to all of that. The thing is that if you're into this, this isn't a job. This is a passion. This is something mm-hmm. that you would do. If you had a job, you would do this on the side. So if you can find a way to do this, not on the side, on the front, you know what I mean? Then you're ahead of the game. I mean, the advice would be just, yes, follow every lead. You know, if you have a desire to do, and I don't think this is just performing arts. I'm a big fan of just whatever it is. I don't care if you have a dream of being an accountant. Go be an accountant. With regard to performance, geez, reps, do it. Do it for your friends. Do it for your family. Do it for a street corner. Just do it. And if you're following your passion, the path will become clear. It'll make itself apparent. Jump and the net will appear.
Very nice. Jump and the net will appear. Not going to tell my kids that.
Come on, man. You got to tell your kids that.
Just
I mean, I would have never, ever in a million years had I not just said, yeah, I can do it. Because I was very intimidated when I got here. And I got here, I was 51 years old, been in this business for a long time. And I showed up here and I was, as far as I was concerned, I was at the bottom of the totem pole. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. these are circus acts. These are acts that have spent their whole life on 7 minutes. And I never in a million years thought I could even stay in the same stage with them. But you got to take chances, man. You got to throw yourself out there. So like it never ends. I tell that to a young person. There is no arrival. You know, you're never going to go, ah, look, I made it. It's just, it's the process. It's the coming up with a new idea and taking action on that idea and then seeing it come to fruition and then reimagining it and getting better at it and then trying to spread that around so other people are doing the same thing. Imagine what this world would be like if everybody was doing something they loved.
You know,
that would be an amazing thing. For the most part, that's what circus is. You're walking into a tent with 15 people or 20 people in our case that don't want to be anywhere else in the world but where they're at. And that is that energy. I think you can see it from space. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's powerful. I think that what you propose there is, if what would the world look like if everyone was doing something that gave them energy and that they were passionate about? That's what we're all about here, is getting people to get out and do what they want. And it just happens to be that the folks listening to this are wanting to get out in an RV, get to travel, but also figure out a way to find a way to take that passion and create income to then exchange value for value and buy groceries and pay for campsites, things like that. Very cool.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we need concessions people. Send them our way.
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
We need people. If you got an RV and you want to come live the circus life, I'll tell you, there are opportunities. The performing side of it is a little bit more intense. You know what I mean? You got to go through the creative process and establish yourself as a circus artist. It's not like a walk-in thing. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the Venardos website at liveyourcircusdream.com, or if you go to, let me just make sure I got this right. All right. Jobs at venardoscircus.com. That's pretty simple. J-O-B-S at venardoscircus.com.
So that brings up a question for me. Is we've been talking about the performing aspect, but just like in every aspect, there's always support roles that allow, especially when there's a front man or front crew that are front facing to the public. What kind of opportunities and jobs are there in traveling performance that are not necessarily crowd facing?
Let's just start with this circus tent. Right now, we've got a front of house manager that is responsible for getting people seated, and she handles the door, the VIP section, making sure that people are comfortable and everybody's got a spot. Because it's only 400 seats, but if you sell 375 of those seats, people are, you know, that's, you got to get them seated. And she handles all of that. We have a concessions manager that handles all of the popcorn, cotton candy, et cetera, that goes with that. The sound and light tech that handles, obviously, sound and light tech. We've got a couple of roustabouts that are, we got a tent boss or a tent manager that is primarily responsible for getting this tent up and down and from town to town. We travel on a big giant 18-wheeler. The whole circus fits in this 18-wheeler. And we, as a group, load the circus all the way into that 18-wheeler. And it just shows up in the next town. We unload it, put the tent together. There's always work. It's hard work. You get it, you know, you do that once every 2 weeks. Right. And then the rest of the time, it ain't like we're moving it every day, like some shows do. But those shows usually have a little bit more of a division of labor where they've got a full-time cast that's just setting stuff up and a full-time cast that's just performing. Right. And like I mentioned earlier, we do it all here. So what else? Who else is around here? There's also a nanny on site that helps with all of the many children. Now, this is just a small show, so each of those opportunities are singular. You know what I mean? Although there is, this particular show is on a very upward trajectory. This show is growing by leaps and bounds. So I would expect there to be a lot of opportunity here in the years to come.
Very cool.
But definitely, if somebody's out there that is into the RV van life thing and isn't afraid of some hard work, we're on our way to Seattle. We go to Phoenix and then we take a right and we don't stop till we get all the way up to the Pacific Northwest.
Very cool. Wow. There's a lot. And I think there's so many things that we could jump off with this conversation, but I think you've given us a really good overview of what performing life on the road has looked like for you and what it could look like in the future. You know, Edgy, where can folks find out more about you? See some, I know I jumped on your website and there, I assume I was looking at some of the stuff from the barn in New York. What's the best place for folks to connect with you online?
Well, yeah, I guess that would be, I think Circus of Virtual is what I've got that up as. My web presence is so bad right now. It really is. This, you end up, and I'm sure everybody that is responsible for web content knows that battle. You take your foot off the gas, it is outdated. I was putting so much time into it during the pandemic, and then all of a sudden I got back to live work, and I just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, man, you can do that. Definitely give Venardo's Circus a look, because you can follow all of the artists and what we're doing at the show. They got a heavy Facebook and Instagram presence. And then I'm at, like I said, you can put it in the footnotes, Circus of Virtual, or I think it's even just edzui.com. And then, yeah, man, you know, we're around. Come to the show. I would love to see somebody from this podcast actually show up to the circus. That would be, what a trip.
Well, I think there's quite a few people that are going to be in the West this summer. So, guys, if you're out there and you see Edu's show coming through, definitely stop by and then reach out on their Instagram or Facebook and say, "Hey, I heard this interview on the RV Entrepreneur Podcast. I want to meet the crew and see if you can get something set up."
Venardo's Circus. It ain't Edu's show. Come on, let's get it straight. Venardo's Circus.
Venardo's Circus.
This is the Venardo's Circus, and we are coming to a town near you. I sure do hope so. We got a great tour coming up. We're going up into Colorado for months, and then we're up in Utah and Orem, and then we go all the way up and bounce around Portland, Oregon, and then we bounce around Seattle until August. So anybody out there, just pop in, and I'm in the little blue micro mini out behind the tent.
Awesome. Edu, thank you for taking the time out of your day to be here with me. This is a cool conversation. I like to get into the peek under the hood and see what it's like for you traveling with a performing show. And again, thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me. And I hope to meet somebody out there when you come make some cotton candy for us, because we need some cotton candy maker help. Somebody to come help us. All right, you guys are awesome. Keep up all the great work. And we got a nice long overland coming to Tempe, and I'm going to binge on all the new episodes. So
there you go. Awesome.
I hope you're on your A game, bro.
Perfect. Thanks, Edu.
Talk to you soon. Thanks a lot for everything. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Edu. It really sounds like circus life and RV life have a ton in common and would definitely make up two big overlapping circles on a Venn diagram. It really seemed that the variety or circus performers are super flexible. Sometimes working with a specific show or group of people, sometimes working for themselves. I can easily see how the RV life could be conducive to setting up a small mobile studio and work from wherever you could get internet signal. When we talk about digital nomads, we often think of dedicated computer workers or content creation in the form of social media. But this was a good example of how you can take a small space. Remember, Edu's studio was only the size of a one-car garage or the space in a toy hauler, and turn it into a profitable, virtual, customized performance business. If you're interested in running away with the circus yourself, please check out the links in the show notes. As Edu pointed out, there are tons of opportunities for industrious folks wanting to travel that are not traditional circus performers. Make sure you check out Bernardo's Circus on Facebook or Instagram. And if you're going to be out west this summer, make sure to catch one of the performances. If you're not already part of the RVE community on Facebook, please jump over and join us there. We'd love to have you. That's all I got for today. Happy trails, and I'll see you on the next one.